Yeah, there is a password. And the password is CFE4170. That's the username. The password is social. S-O-C-I-A-L. Okay, if you want to get the... So, come over here. If you want to get this, okay, you need to click on it. And... Okay, well, it's not working. Okay, it should be CSC4170 social. Anyway, try it maybe on the school's computer or whatever, because I think there are some access restrictions. Okay, so the way it's going to set up is this. This grid, this matrix, will tell you everything. Okay, the week. This is the Monday class. What are we going to talk about? The tutorials, homework, and other resources. Okay? So for example, this is an interview done by The Economist with Tim O'Reilly. Tim O'Reilly actually was the person who first started using the word Web 2.0 in one of his conferences. Okay? So he's talking about what is really Web 2.0. And basically what he's saying is that Web 2.0 is not so much about the technology as the way that people are connected using collective wisdom, human, social intelligence to solve problems. Okay? So this will be a very interesting interview that you guys could download and listen to, podcast kind of like. This is actually a book, or a chapter of a book that you could download for free. And I will introduce more and more resources as we go along. Okay. Again, this is the first time that we're doing this, so many of the things that we're still on the trial and error basis. Okay, so you guys are actually the first guinea pig and so on and so forth. I plan to have actually several homeworks. The first one will be quite simple, but the subsequent one, in fact, I like to do it in such a way that it will really help you to do your project. So don't think of it as homework, but rather small steps that helps you in your project. Okay? So for example, the first one, we're going to do some, the tutorial, we're going to do regular expressions, web crawler, and so on and so forth. So as we go along doing some of those things, that will really help you later on to do your class project and things like that. Yeah, sure. I mean, he literally took a seat. That's really good, huh? Okay. So there are a lot of things going on. And this is being updated every week, well, every day practically. So please go there and take a look at it, okay, on a regular basis. Please do so. There will be more and more stuff coming out. So, and you will basically put everything on this grid. So please just make sure that you go to that grid regularly. Oh, by the way, I do have a question. I plan to have a guest speaker because what happened is this week, it turns out to be the CIKM week. CIKM is a conference on information knowledge management. Okay, it's a very big conference. It's going to be held in Hong Kong during that time. So we have a guy from a researcher from Microsoft. Research, Redmond in Seattle. Okay, he's coming over and he's going to give a talk. But I wasn't sure whether are there any conflict if we do the talk instead of the class, because he's going to talk exactly about human computation and social games, right? I'm just wondering whether you guys have any conflict if we hold a class on that particular day, say at 10:30 or 11 o'clock. Do you have any conflict? It's a Monday. Monday, 10:30 or 11 o'clock. Any conflict? You have a conflict? You have a class before this. 10:30 to 11:30. Okay, what about 11:30? Do you have any class at 11:30? You do, okay. So we might have to just do it at 12:30. So we're gonna ask him to come into the class and teach. Now he's gonna give a seminar, okay? So I just thought that it will be a perfect opportune time, and we will not have a class on that day. So we just go listen to a seminar from a Microsoft researcher. Okay, I'll try to schedule him for that day between 12:30 and whatever, 1:15. Okay, on that day. So that's that. We're gonna, the final examination will be centralized, so I hope that that's okay. In fact, I hope to have maybe the last week as a presentation week, so that in your project, and I'll talk more about that, the project will allow you to have a really anything that is interesting and that's related to our topic. So we will give you some guidelines, and we'll give you some potential projects for you. But you're certainly welcome to choose anything that you want, okay? And we will, but the thing is, if you do that, make sure you get approval from us first. Because some of them may be too easy, some of them may be too difficult, and we will give you feedback on your proposed project, okay? So think about something as we talk about this, okay? This course about social networks, social computing, many of these things is technical, is a computational aspect, but you are free also to do something different and something else. But make sure that you do it. You do it. Okay, you do it with our approval. Okay, so the schedule is more like, you know, beginning of in 2 weeks. You're going to submit a proposal, okay? 2-3 weeks, you're going to submit a proposal. Very simple, one page, describing what you want to do. Go ahead. 1 or 2 pages. 1 page is fine. And then you describe what you want to do, and then basically we'll get our approval. If you're doing the project that we propose, you know, that's perfectly fine too. Okay? And then we have, at the end, we're going to have a presentation. That's basically it. Okay, so let's go to this. I don't think I have... Okay, so let me just go through it over again. This engineering email, my phone, my fax. This is the site, and the username again is csc4170, all lowercase, and the password is social, S-O-C-I-A-L, okay, social. And that's the book, or chapter of the book, that you should download. Okay, so let's go back to what we talked about. Yeah, this is what you're supposed to see last week that you didn't see. Okay, so... Maybe we could scroll to where we were. Where were we? Were we somewhere here? It's okay. I mean, I could always just go on. Okay, I think we were here, right, last time. Okay. So right now is this, that one of the phenomenal things I talked about last time was that Encyclopedia used to really be that big, really, before they changed it to a DVD. And then now it's actually citizen-supported. Well, this is what I feel great, great example of what we call a social, okay, a collective intelligence, or social intelligence, or social wisdom, you want to call it, right? So people actually do contribute, and last time I talked about how you could actually get objective things. So they have these called a policy or guidelines, you know, point neutral. What is point neutral? When you write for Wikipedia, you know, don't be subjective, be objective. Have a neutral point of view when you observe these things. So this is why it's so good for us engineers, because when we do things, right, many things are very objective, right, definitions and so on and so forth. So you could actually find lots and lots of interesting definition, new topics, technology on this thing, okay? So Wikipedia is one of the things. Now the problem is actually very interesting, and one of the things that the web community is trying to do these days is, in fact, try to make certain that your website can be interoperable. What does that mean? Okay, think of your HTML code. Okay, if you actually look underneath your web page, what is there? Well, there's a lot of codes there, right? You have markers, they have, you know, style sheets and all that stuff, right? But really, what about the content? The content, can that be actually interoperable? And what does that interoperable mean? It means that can we actually make your content manipulatable by some machine? And you go, what is that? Well, have you guys heard of semantic web? You know what a semantic web is? Okay, you may have heard of, you may not have heard of it. But semantic web is really a project trying to make your web content somehow can be manipulated by machines. Okay? For example, right? When you put your address and things like that, right? Very often we would put Irwin King and then my address and telephone and fax and email and website and so on and so forth, right? Wouldn't it be nice if we actually put it in some kind of XML form such that other people can read that XML file and say, hey, this is actually an address. This is actually a city. You know, and then you could do something about that city. For example, look up its location, look up its coordinate, look up some related information about that. Okay? So there is actually an initiative that trying to do this, what we call a semantic web, which is another thing that Tim Berners-Lee, the father of the internet, thought about. Okay? Because right now, our code is really, really messed up. Okay, there's not easy way to manipulate those HTML code, which has got a lot of wisdom, a lot of information, a lot of data, right? But we cannot do, right? So there is an effort actually pushing there. Okay, so social news and knowledge sharing. So WikiHow, there are many, many of these sites. Lots and lots of wikis are actually popping up. How many of you are using wikis? You? What do you do it for? Academic stuff, right? Actually, if you look at my website is a wiki. Okay, you say, wow, you use a wiki? Well, what's a wiki? Now, the most obvious manifestation of wiki is Wikipedia. But there's nothing wrong to somehow hyperlink your website in such a way that, say, for example, my website has the front page and then it jumps to some hierarchical structure, because wiki is perfectly for that, right? Or maybe even blogs, more even WordPress and so on and so forth to do that, okay? So here are some wikis allow really collaborative publishing, right? What does that mean? That means different people could access on different pages simultaneously. Moreover, wikis provides what we call a version control. So if you messed it up, you could always roll back to some previous version that somebody has not messed it up, and do comparison and so on and so forth. It is searchable, right? Try to do that for your HTML code, right? How do you provide actually a search engine for within your collection, right? So wiki is actually very, very useful. I mean, if I have time, I'll go into a little bit more in depth. But anyway, so right now, so many wiki sites actually popped up, or blog sites and so on and so forth. So social news refers to websites where users can submit their own information. And in fact, wiki sites we have, YouTube, Flickr, All those have become what we call the social media side, that people actually take events and so on and so forth, multimedia information, and being uploaded. So these are actually what we call social news. Maybe one day, you know, you don't have to actually watch the news at 7:30 or 7 o'clock. You can watch news anytime as they happen, you know, as they happen. Because somebody somewhere will actually doing this kind of, you know, filming or taking pictures or doing wikis and things like that. Okay. So, again, there are more and more. Oh, I do want to say one thing that is actually very interesting lately that you could also consider doing something is what we call a question and answer. Okay? Question and answer is actually a very, very big thing. How many actually use question and answer things on the web? No? Okay, Yahoo has it. Google also trying to do that. What it is answer bus war, or not necessarily this, but Microsoft actually has also a question and answer. And what it is that you basically ask questions, okay? And what happened is that the social network or the collective community will try to answer that question. And then what happened is really interesting is that you could actually rate and rank the response, right? For example, my question could be, again, what's the best restaurant in Sha Tin, right? And people would answer those things. And I say, well, I think the best Cantonese food in Sha Tin is so and so forth. No, I think the best steakhouse in Sha Tin is this and so on and so forth, right? And as they people actually respond to that, people get to rank how good that answer is, whether it's just a one-liner or it's actually an explanation of a lot of things. Now, this only not only apply to restaurants, but how do you answer, like, you know, I have difficulty in understanding a problem from geometry, right, a course or whatever, right? But what is really unique about this question and answer is that we can actually do a lot of things on top of that. For example, we could actually generate questions in such a way that to anticipate people answer asking them. We could actually, because of these collective intelligence thing, we could actually use ways to extract summary information that is consistent and accurate. For example, if I ask you, how do I get from here to say the peak, the Victoria Peak, right? 20 people right here will have what? Possibly 20 different answers, right? But guess what? Most popular one, right, may rise up to the top as being the most convenient, most cost-effective way to get to the peak, right? Because we could actually mine our web, okay, and this class is about web intelligence. So one of the possible projects, in fact, is to do this question and answer mining, is to say that we collect this information out of 100 responses, right? 50 of them actually say this is the correct answer. Well, maybe it's likely that this is the correct answer. You know, the best way to get from COHK to the peak, right? So these are some of the things that actually is happening in this what we call a knowledge sharing and you know, aspect of things. It's very, very exciting, question and answer. Okay, social bookmarking. How many of you actually do social bookmarking? Bookmark, what do you do? Which one?
Delicious,
okay. Anybody use Dig? Anybody use anything else? How do you find Delicious?
I read a blog. Talking about Delicious.
Okay. But nobody uses Google as a bookmark, huh? Anyone? You do? Okay. Good. So we are some kind of tagging services. You think that it's so innocent to say, oh, I just want to make a tag out of this particular website, right? So what is a tag? A tag is basically a very short phrase or word or phrase that describe in Delicious, in that case, right, describe what?
Describe the web page.
The web page, URL. That particular URL, right? So you think that, hey, this is really nothing. I'm just keeping it for my information. So I go to Professor King's webpage and say, man, this is really awesome, right? You put the word awesome in there, which I recommend you guys to do, by the way. So you put the word awesome in there, right? And you know, 20 people actually all put that word in there. Then guess what? It's really an awesome web page, you know? And because, you know what? We could actually mine those tags and really come up to such a way that if I want to find out awesome pages, right, in CUHK, maybe mine will just come up automatically. Why? Because my site has been tagged by the word awesome, okay? So what I'm trying to say is that although you might not think that you are doing, you're contributing to the collective intelligence, for you, it's just convenience because I want to tag this website with some kind of keyword that I remember. Guess what? You're actually helping Google, you're actually helping Delicious to produce a rank pages of awesomeness or whatever the keyword that you use, right? So if I want a best social computing site, right? There are a lot of websites that's being tagged as social computing. Guess what? That page is going to come up. So indirectly, your small interaction or your involvement with something that is seemingly so simple, you're actually contributing to the accuracy and the quality of query processing for these search engines. So Delicious, in fact, has become one of the hot places to find out what is hot and what is popular. Right? Delicious. What is hot? What is a movie? What's a good movie? Guess what? If you have, say, this particular movie, you will say, man, this movie is great. You know, it's romantic. It is so on and so forth. Guess what? The reverse is true. If I want to search for a good romantic movie, that link is going to pop up. Okay? But not just you doing it, but thousands of people are doing it. And this is where the synergy and all that come from this social computing. Okay? So what's a tag? Tag is really a descriptive metadata, keyword, user-defined, and so on and so forth. What gets tagged? Pictures, blogs, posts, video clips, all these things could get tagged. Delicious only tag URL, right? But you have no problem going to the Google, guess what, the image, and say tag this. Oh, I remember, this is Canada. Oh, bam, you know? But you know what you're doing by doing that? You're actually, again, helping Google. You're helping Google so that when the Google is looking for Banff images, that image is going to show up, or possibly show up because other people have tagged it, right? Think about the power in that. So basically, you could share one's tag, and okay. So here is a social bookmarking site, Delicious. Okay, so social computing, Foster researcher, and so on and so forth. So all these actually being tagged by people, right? And this is where actually the most important thing that you could actually extract as human high-level intelligence thing. Okay, so here's a stumble upon and rate. Okay, now when you say rate web pages, photo, videos, they are actually websites. Did you know that you could rate your professors? Right? You know that. You're using it probably, right? In Penn State?
Yeah, it's actually really popular back in the States.
Yeah, it's very popular. You know, why not have a website that's independent of us, of the school, but rate your professors? How good they are, you know, how organized they are, how interesting they are, whether they can speak clearly or not, whether they give you good grades or bad grades, or, you know, any comments of those sorts, right? And what happened is this. Did you realize those recommendations is, in fact, it's a social collective intelligence as well. So recommendation systems, like in Amazon. In Amazon, when you log in, right, it recommends you some movies. How did they do that? Did you ever realize how did they do that? How did they actually come out with a list of movies for you to say, this is what you would like to see? How did they do that? Well, by your purchasing history, by what you have clicked on and viewed before, and maybe by your social network, okay, and so on and so forth. There are ways that we're going to talk about a little bit later on, but I'm just giving you some introduction as to how this is done. Okay, so tagging is everywhere. So every site, even if you go to my website, I hate to tell you this, right here, you could actually tag. So just go to my website and hit this delicious, and you can tag my site. Okay? Do that. Just type this, or the Google bookmark, or date this, and so on and so forth. You have other sites, go ahead and tag it. Okay? Okay. Okay, folksonomy. What's a folksonomy? Folksonomies are actually the output result of collaborative tagging. It's a taxonomy. You know what a taxonomy is? A classification, a categorization of a particular field. For example, mathematics, right? You would have taxonomy like geometry, algebra, and calculus, and so on and so forth. In calculus, then you would go into more things, right? Geometry, you have Euclidean geometry, non-Euclidean geometry, and so on and so forth. So these are actually structures or classifications that actually we commonly would agree upon. Now, it's not necessarily fixed. There's not unique. Very seldom that you'll find something unique, but this is something that we agree upon, right? So it's very grassroots, community-based, inclusive. Everybody could get involved in this folksonomy and tagging of things, okay? And the scalability issue is really interesting because, you know, if you really get a lot of people doing it, the data actually gets better and more accurate over time. And that is the key thing, scalability that helps you to get better results. Okay, some tag clouds. Oh, okay. I want to talk a little bit about that, the next topic. Okay, so basically what I want to introduce to you in these few lectures is basically give you an overview of everything. Then what we're going to do, we're going to dive into the detail, the computation behind it, right? So here's really something interesting. I want you guys to think about it and see whether you want to do a project based on this, okay? The latest thing is called social games or human computation or social computation, okay? What is social computation? Anybody know what a CAPTCHA is? CAPTCHA. You've probably seen this a lot, right? You've seen your CAPTCHA a lot, right? And every time you want to get to some resources, you have to go through this hoop. You got to jump over this hurdle, right? So by doing what? By typing this particular word, these two particular words. And the left one is what? This chart. And the right one is what? Carolina, right? It's very easy for us to do, but it is what? Very difficult for a computer to do. So the original purpose of CAPTCHA is doing what? Is to prevent people or robots from spamming the site. This is kind of like a pseudo Alan Turing test. You understand? This is like a little Turing test. Earlier we talked about maybe AI. AI is so big, right? Alan Turing, inventor of the Turing machine, you know, a lot of things in computer science about that. He talks about how do you distinguish intelligence? Well, there is a Turing test such that if you are connected, right, by a terminal, and you interact with this particular entity that you don't know about, and you cannot tell whether this is human or machine, then that whatever entity has intelligence. And this is why all these years we've been trying to come up with a program or whatever to mimic intelligence. We haven't, so far we haven't done so. But anyway, this is a small test. This is an easy test because this one will distinguish an intelligent person versus a robot. If I present this to a robot, you may come up with some kind of image processing algorithm, computer vision algorithm, and process this. But it will require a lot more intelligence, right? So what we hear is that there are two words. It sets up a block so that only human could go in, correct? Okay, this is actually very interesting. Well, can we do something about this? Because, remember this, every time you're actually doing this, you are actually performing what? A human computation. Isn't it? Cognitively, you're presenting it, you're actually doing some kind of processes to say, oh, that's discharge in Carolina. Can we put that to a good use? How do we use this? Can we put this into good use? Well, let's take a look at it. Here's a very interesting thing. Here is a scanned classic text that somebody got. Okay? They wrote it in calligraphy. Okay? So, the proposition is this. To make this thing, I would somehow extract a part of this, okay, and put it right here. You see where I'm getting at, right? Okay? So what happened is this. These two, okay, you need to try your best to get in, right? You try to get their account or whatever. You will do your best to get there. So what happened here is that you will try to answer this as accurately as possible. Because for a machine, forget it. Don't even try to answer it. You're gone, right? So what you're trying to do is trying to answer these as accurately as possible. So you put down discharge and put some words here. Guess what? What are you doing, actually? You're actually helping the ISP to do OCR. It's called human OCR, optical character reader, right? Okay, so what is this here? If this is correct, what is the likelihood of this being correct? High or low? If the first one is typed correctly, discharge, what would the likelihood of this one being correct? Pretty good, right? Unless you're really a dummy. If you're a dummy, I don't trust you, right? If you mistype this, I won't trust you this, right? But if you type this correctly, the likelihood that this is also correct is pretty high. And guess what? I do this 10,000 times, okay? Using different words in front, but with the same image. If 999 or 990 people say that this is a particular word, what is the likelihood that this is that particular word? Very high too, right? Isn't it? Ah. So there are a couple things that are actually working in this social computation, social game. Okay? First of all, there's a utility function. Okay? People wouldn't want to just do this for you for free. It has to be some kind, you get something back in return. That's a utility function. We're going to talk a little bit more detail, but I just wanted to get your mind thinking, okay? Utility function is that when you type this correctly, you will get some kind of access, an account or resources or something like that, right? That's one thing. Second thing is that because I don't know you and you don't know me, these two are done independently, right? So every trial is independent. So I cannot cheat. I cannot look at previous people's this thing and say, oh, I'm going to type in just like the guy who did it before. Right? So this independence actually produced very high accuracy and security. So if I could chop these things down into thousands of these little pieces, okay, and ask people, every day there were thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people trying to get into a town to do this. If I could do that, right, guess what? I could actually have the whole book converted into the text form very easily without even having to write a single line of optical character reading code. And what kind of code would I be using? Some kind of game code, right? And it's very simple game code. I just present it to you, and then you give me back something. Oh, the most difficult part is really to segment this thing, to partition, right? To cut out that particular piece. That's the most difficult part. Okay, other than that, you don't have to. So what you're doing is you're using collective intelligence, social computation, human computation to perform a task. Okay? I'll show you another one, and I'll show you even more later on, but I'm going to show another one that is actually a game. Now this is, earlier it was a single user, single person. This is what we call it, the human computation, the Google image labeler. This is the game. The game is played like this, okay? Google image labeler site will select two random people, two, from whoever wants to play the game on from the internet. Why do you want to do that? Because it's preventing cheating. If you have two anonymous users, the likelihood that they know each other and they're playing this simultaneously and they could talk to one another will be very, very low, right? So two random anonymous users, that's one thing, okay? Let's look at what you need to do. What you need to do first is this. You look at this picture, okay, and you tell me, describe what you see in the picture. So describe something in the picture. Yeah, mountain, okay. It's going to do that, right? Why? Because this is off-limit word. Okay? So this is really interesting. This is off-limit. So all the off-limits you cannot use. So give me some words that is not being used.
Sunny.
Sunny. Good. That's good. Sunny. Okay. You.
Clouds.
Clouds. Okay. So sunny and clouds are not in here. Correct? So if I type in sunny and clouds, guess what? It's actually going to put them down here. So when you type in sunny, return, clouds, return, this is actually going to, it's actually going to be put down right here. Okay? Now you go, this is not fun. I thought I'm playing with someone else. You are playing with someone else. And the thing is this. You will get point if you and your partner types the same word. This is where the validation stage comes in, right? So if your partner types in sunny as well, if you have a sunny right here, guess what happened? You score. Okay? You score. So these are off-limit words. You're not supposed to tell me. Guess what? You score. Okay? Okay? And what happened is that there are other interesting thing. There is a time limit. So you cannot sit there for 5 hours and think through and go, so on and so forth. Okay, this is a very fast-paced game. Okay? Okay? So, is this fun to play?
No?
No? Oops, sorry. This is not fun to play? Okay, what if I give you money to play this? What if I say that if you get 1,000 score, or whatever score, then you will get some kind of prize. And if you get 2,000, you'll get bigger prize. If 5,000, you get really big prize. Would you like to play? Maybe, right? Guess what? Google did this, okay? It turns out that they found people playing for hours after hours. Okay? And then, you know, what is the actual intention of this game? What is the actual intention of this game? For you and me, this is just a simple kind of, you know, fun game, right? But what is Google doing? Ah, Google is actually collecting image labels for this. There is no generalized computer vision system that is able to recognize a general scene like this. Okay? But guess what? All of us could. We are much better than computers, right? We can recognize this, and Google is actually taking advantage of people, poor people like us, okay, to help them to do their work
for free.
Because, this is interesting, they say that they, in 1 month's time, they have done more work just by doing this game than hiring hundreds of software engineers or engineers to try to label this. Because these labels, if you use only one engineer to label it, guess what? You know, you might say tomato, I might say tomato, right? So you might say this is a mountain, I might say this is a hill, right? There are different languages, there are different contexts, and so on and so forth. If one person could tag this thing, what if 1,000 people tag this image and you have a consistency and you have a stats, you know? Out of 1,000 people, 600 people say that that's a hill, and 400 people say that that's a mountain. Well, then you know that there could be a hill, there could be a mountain in here, right? Whereas the single person will only tag as a mountain or a hill, or whatever, right? You have no things, right? Guess what? So they've done this in 1 month time. They've done more things. They saved, you know, we saved them basically millions of dollars. Imagine hiring 100 engineers like us, you know, sitting in front of a computer to do this, right? It doesn't make any sense. It's not accurate, you know? In fact, this is what Yahoo used to do. Why? You remember what's Yahoo's, the difference between Yahoo and Google? What's the difference between the way they present their information, Yahoo and Google? Yahoo is what? Hierarchical, right? Yahoo has a top layer, then you drill down. You go click, 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 click down, right? Who came out with those categorizations? Not machine, human did, right? You talk about United States, and you talk about California, you talk about San Francisco, you talk about that. Who actually put that, a particular URL site into that slot? Most likely it was human. That's why Yahoo at that time, they involved so many people doing this thing. And we eventually found out that we probably don't prefer, there's something is good that it's done hierarchically, but most of the time for us, we have no patience to click 10 times before we actually see the information. All we do is what? You type in the query words. If it's not right, you retype it, you reformulate a query word instead of going down and drill down, right? So this is why Yahoo, they still have something there. If you have a big category, you can talk about sports, you can talk about that, you can organize information like that. But many, many things, you cannot organize something because a page could be in multiple places, in multiple things, right? How do you actually do that? Okay, so let's go back to this. You do this, right? Guess what? I can play the inverse game as well. What's an inverse game? Inverse game is segmentation. That's also a hard topic in computer vision, right? So what it is to say, hey, where is the water? Okay? So think about this game. So instead of these labels, right? I'm presenting to you, and I ask you to tell me where is the water. Draw it out. So I will draw it out. This is the water right here. Okay? And if your area and the anonymous user's area overlaps by a large margin, say 70%, you get a point. Guess what? You do this trial for thousands of times. And what do you get? you get a fairly accurate segmentation routine for free. Okay, the computer couldn't do it. Humans could. Okay? There are actually games for listening tunes, okay, to come up with tags of tunes. There are games actually to rate an image, whether as beautiful or not beautiful, or somewhere in between. Okay? And these are some of the things that we're going to talk about a little bit later. In fact, the Microsoft researcher is going to come to talk about a thing that is called Page Hunter. And it's very, very interesting. And I'll leave that up to him to tell you about it, because this one could really improve the performance of search engine. Okay? If you could do that. Okay, I better stop. I think the time is up. So you guys, come back tomorrow, I guess. We'll talk some more about social games and other things. See you guys. Bye.